You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
So let's read something real quick. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, just verse 1 I guess is good, right? 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 1. It says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Sophon, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. The son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu. It says, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and an Ephraimite. And it says, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penaniah. And Penaniah had children, so she was fruitful. But Hannah had no children, so she was unfruitful. It says, this man went up from his city yearly to worship, it says, and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, right, in the place of rest, in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when, and says, and whenever the time came, look at this, whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, whenever the husband, right, when it was time for him to make an offering, watch what it says, to make an offering, he would give portions to Penaniah. It says, portions to Penaniah, his wife, and to all her sons, portions to Penaniah, his wife, and to all her sons, right? But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. He would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. So now, I just want to show you something. Deuteronomy, and we'll stay right here, maybe if you can show us, right? Deuteronomy 21 and verse number 17. Let's look at that real quick. So here, what it's talking about is, it's talking about the firstborn, right? And right in the middle of talking about the firstborn, it says, but he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife. So what it's saying is, if a man has two wives, and one is unloved and the other one is loved, right? The other, and it's interesting that it's the exact same scenario, right, as Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives, one that he loves and the other one that he doesn't love. The one that he doesn't love is fruitful. The one that he loves is not fruitful, right? Watch what it says. It says, and you know what, we might as well just, because this is like a little funny. So can you bring that down a little bit so we can just read the context of it? If you could just scroll down a little bit, yeah. Right there, 15. Thank you, that's good. So look at what it says. If a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him no children, both the loved and the unloved, and the firstborn son is of her who is unloved. So out of the two that have no children, the one that actually ends up bearing the son is the unloved. And here, Penaniah is the unloved one, right? And he gives her portions, right? But in accordance with this, but it says, then it shall be that on the day that he bequeaths or gives, I guess, his possessions to his sons, that he must not bestow firstborn status to the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved, the true or the firstborn, because the firstborn was born of the unloved woman. So regardless of how many children the loved woman has, he needs to give a double portion to the son of the unloved woman. Because that was the firstborn. Because the double portion belongs there to the firstborn, right? So it says, but he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion, it says, right? By giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength, the right of the firstborn is his. So just stay with this for a second. So all that really is saying is exactly what that is, right? That the firstborn deserves a double portion. It doesn't matter whether you like the woman or you don't. That's the one that gets it. That's the one that it belongs to, right? Now, here's the interesting thing. When we come back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, what happens there is that it's actually the exact, it's the reverse of what is going on here, right? Because that's what the Lord said has to be done. Yet here what you see is that Elkanah loves Hannah, who is unfruitful, and yet he loves Penaniah, who is very fruitful, and he gives in verse number, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and in verse number 4, it says, whenever he went to give offerings to the Lord, it says, and whenever the time came from Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions. He would give portions to Penaniah, his wife, and to all her sons. That's the firstborn is there, right? That's the firstborn there. But look at what he does, right? But to Hannah, he gives a double portion, for he loved her, although the Lord has closed her womb. So what he's doing is interesting, right? Is that what he's really doing is he's giving the double portion to the one that in essence really doesn't deserve it, right? He's giving the double portion to the one that has no right, supposedly, right? That has no right of the firstborn. He's given it to her. Now let me show you something just a little different, right? In Isaiah 61, and we're going to come right back. I'll actually mark this 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Isaiah 61, let's go there a second. Isaiah 61 and 4. Isaiah 61 verse number 4. And obviously in Isaiah 61 verse 1, you know, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. So all of that is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, right? The firstborn, right? Isaiah 61 is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, who is the firstborn. The one that has the rights, right? Jesus has the right, right? Who doesn't have the right? We don't. We have no right. We have no right to any double portion of anything. He does, but we don't, right? He does, but we don't. He's the beloved Son of God, right? He's the beloved Son of God, so he has a right to that. He has a right to that, but we don't, right? We don't. So he comes and he says, in his coming, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He says what he came to do, to set at liberty those that are captive, and he to preach the gospel, right? In verse number 4, he says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations, strangers, it says, shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, and you shall be named the priests of the Lord. You shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of God. They shall call you the servants of God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast instead of shame. Instead of shame, that's the picture of what Hannah was going through, right? Each time they used to go up, it said that Penaniah would humiliate her, right? She would humiliate her because there was this thing, like the Lord was talking about just before, right, when we were praying, that there was this competition, there was this thing that was going on, right? So he said she would go into depression, she wouldn't eat. Right, she wouldn't eat, and she wouldn't, and all of that was just because, right, what was being held over her head is the fruitfulness of this woman, and the lack of fruit in my life, right? The lack of fruit in my life, she said. So it says in verse number 7, instead of shame, it says you shall have double. Instead of all of because of what Christ has done, instead of shame, he said, you will have double. In Isaiah 54:55, right? He says that your maker is your husband, and that you would forget the shame of your youth. You would forget the shame of your youth. And you know really what happened is. What happened is that the Lord who is the rightful firstborn, right? The Lord Jesus Christ who's the rightful firstborn. What happened to him, what he did is he bestowed upon us by the grace of God, which is by the grace of God, because it's not anything that we've earned and it's not anything that we had a right to, right? But because of His love for us, right? Because of His great love with which He loved us, what did He do? He gave unto us, because of His love, which was the only reason, if we go back real quick to 1 Samuel chapter 1, it was the only reason that Hannah received what she received. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, but to Hannah He would give a double portion because He loved her. A double portion, it says, for He loved her, although the Lord had closed her womb. So the interesting part of that is that, you know, if we really see, the Bible teaches that everything that we have and anything that you see in the life of another, they've received from God. Not just what we have, right? But what we all have we received from the exact same Spirit, right? No one has been loved more. No one has been shortchanged in any way, right? But God has given to each of us the same Spirit, right? The same Spirit. So look at what He says to her. And this is something on the way home last night. As we were driving, I had been looking at this. And He says to her, let me show you something. He says, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 5, But to Hannah He would give a double portion, for He loved her, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. It says, so it was year by year that when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, therefore she wept and she did not eat. So what was affecting her was everything that was external. It wasn't what she had in her husband. It wasn't what she had in her husband. It was everything that was external to her husband, right? All of her needs, all of her wants, all of her desires, which were outside of her husband, is what was affecting her life, right? Yet, so He says to her, even though He would give her double and He would love her and He preferred her so, and her fruitfulness is not the reason why God loved her, because God, well, and that's fine to say it like that, right? It's just funny, but right, the Lord loved her before her fruitfulness, right? Because she became fruitful later, right? But the Lord loved her before her fruitfulness. So our fruitfulness does not make God love us more, right? So Elkanah didn't love her because she was fruitful, because obviously she was barren and he didn't care. He preferred her even over a woman who had given him so many sons, right? And it says, so it was year by year that when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, and therefore she wept and she did not eat. And in verse number 8 it says, then Elkanah her husband said to her, and this is awesome, because I want you to see and think about this in reference to Romans 8 that we'll read in just a second. But it says, then Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you weep? Because you don't have cause to weep, right? Why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you? And that word better there is the same word that God used in Genesis, where He created everything. And He said, and He saw, and remember, the things that God did prior to the fall were perfect, right? All that He created was perfect. So God looked at it and said that it was good. And He saw that it was good, right? That's that same word, better. So if you want to, just for clarity, if you want, instead of saying better, just say gooder, because it's the same word, right? Gooder. Am I not, so He, what He says to her is, it says, am I not gooder to you than 10 sons? Am I not perfect enough for you, right? Than even if you had 10 sons? Am I not, in other words, am I not better to you than anything that you could ever desire? Am I not better to you than anything that you could ever aspire to? Am I not better to you than anything that you could ever want to be? Or am I not better to you than any need that you could ever have, right? Am I not better to you than all the things? Am I not greater who is in you than anything in this world that you could ever want? Am I not greater? Am I not better, right? So that's what He was saying to her. He says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? And it's interesting, it says, and just for the sake of time, it says that she rose up and she went to the place called where they were already there, I guess, the place of Shiloh, which is the place of rest. And it's just, and then after He said that to her, it says she rose up and she says she ate and she drank. So He said that to her, you know, am I not better to you than 10 sons? And you know, I just was, you know, driving last night, and I just heard the Lord telling me that just repeatedly, over and over again. Aren't I better to you? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Am I not better to you? The son thing, I didn't care, because to me, sons just means anything you want. I mean, that's what the woman wanted. You know, to her, she was willing to do anything to have a son. Right, to do anything to have a son. But he just telling me, you know, am I not better to you than 10 sons? And then he just reminded me in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. Maybe you could just go there. We don't have to necessarily turn there. But Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. Because he's so good, right? He's so good. He says, he who did not spare his own son, he who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. So he gave his son to you, right? So you have his spirit. So he gave you the rights of the firstborn, the blessedness of being the firstborn, right? The blessedness of being the firstborn and the rights of being a firstborn. He gave them to you. And he says, from what I've given you already, is that not already better than anything, just anything you could think of, anything you could desire in your mind, anything you could pray of and say, Lord, that you need this or that you want that, is it not already better? Is it not already better? Anything. And the Lord says, you know, that there's a little part that I've been thinking about, and I'm not going to preach on it yet because I've just started looking at it, but where he says, you know, that anyone who loves mother and father and, you know, this or that more than me is not worthy of me, right? But the thing is, if you really look at it, what he's saying is, I've given you everything. I've given you everything already in Jesus. And he says, he who did not spare his own son, right? Who is he talking about there? The Father, right? He didn't spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us, right? He delivered him up for us. It says, how shall he not with him who is on the inside of you? And the Lord has been telling us that, right? That it's just about that any prayer that you could pray, the answer is in the knowledge of Christ, who is already on the inside of you. There's nothing that God has to answer externally to you, but any prayer that you would pray, it's just, so you could really almost cut to the chase when it comes to praying, right? And just say, Lord, I have a need. Show me what it is that I have in Christ that has already given me this, because I don't see it. Right? Just cut right to asking Him for wisdom. Go ahead and ask Him for what you're saying that you need. You could verbalize that. There's no harm in verbalizing something that you think that you need. But just ask Him, Lord, show me the wisdom of Christ. Show me what it is that I have in Christ that I have not seen yet. In other words, unearth, right? Unearth the treasure, right? Unearth the treasure. It's there. It's already there. You just haven't dug to bring it up, right? It's already there. But the most important part, can I tell you something? It's really not, if you really think about it, it's not really bringing it up, right? Bringing up the treasure is not the most important thing. Because you know, you could do that. You could do that. The most important thing is knowing that in Christ, the treasure that we have in earthen vessels, in Him is all that sufficiency already. Because once you know that, you'll go get it. You'll take it, right? Once you know that, you'll unearth what you already have, right? So the Spirit of God will cause that to happen. But the knowledge of knowing that you have it and asking Him for wisdom and then to watch Him liberally give you what you're asking for, to have Him liberally give you the wisdom that you're asking for, is a beautiful thing. So he says, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? How shall He not with Him freely also give us all things? So we're just back again so that we can wrap up this little piece here. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 8, if we can read it again. It says, so then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? You know, it interesting, right? Why are you disheartened? Like, why are you moved away? Why is your heart moved away? Why are you going through these things? Why are you anxious? Why all these things, right? The answer is the same. He says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? So here's what happens. So she eats and she goes up, it says, to the tabernacle, and she goes in and she sees Eli, the priest, right? She sees Eli the priest, and Eli the priest is there, and she goes in and she begins to pray. But as she's praying, you guys may have heard this before, right? She's praying to herself, but she's moving her mouth, right? But she's not, nothing's coming out. She's just moving her mouth. And Eli looks at her and says, you know, he thinks right away she's drunk, you know. So he, in an accusing manner, he goes and he says, you know, why don't you leave your liquor home or something like that, if I'm paraphrasing, right? So she says to him, she says, no, she says, I'm not drunk. I haven't touched anything. She said, it's just that I'm in bitter sorrow. And she goes on to say why all this is happening to her and why she is the way she is. And let me read you that in verse number 15, 1 Samuel 1:15. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink. And it's an interesting thing, you know, with the things that the Lord has been speaking to us, and things even that Pastor Mike was just mentioning recently during communion last Friday about drinking wine, right? The very thing that she did when she was when she was badgered by this woman, right? When life was beating on her, is that she would stop eating and that she would stop drinking, right? So she says, so it's interesting just the her choice words that she says, I have neither drunk wine nor intoxicating drink. So I've not taken anything to help me forget, right? I've not taken anything, right, to that would do something to the way that I'm thinking, right? I've not taken anything that would alter the way that I'm thinking. I've just allowed myself to stay in the mess that I'm in. Just in other words, staying in the same thinking, not understanding the husband that I have, not understanding that he is better to me than 10 sons, right? And that he'll give me the 10 sons. He'll give me the 10 sons, but the understanding that he is better, right? The understanding that he's better. So he says in verse number 16, it says, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance, it's interesting, right? Out of the abundance, what do you want to say next after that? Out of the abundance of your what? What is it that makes you come to mind, right? Out of the abundance of your heart. Well, she says, out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. So she was speaking out of the abundance of her what, right? She was speaking out of the abundance of her heart. And what she was speaking was the sorrow that she had, because she had not acknowledged yet the husband that she has already. The one that is already his, and the one that already loves her, and the one that already prefers her, and the one that had already given her a double portion, right? Given her the rights, right, of a firstborn. Given her the rights of a firstborn that were due to that woman. Right? That, I mean, if Petaniah would have looked at Deuteronomy, right, she would have had a complaint against this man, right? That you give to her is due to me. But instead, he gave that to Hannah. Isn't that interesting? He gives to Hannah that which is would have been due her if she would have birthed him a son first. He gives it to her anyway. You know what the word Hannah means? Grace. Right? Grace. Grace. And it's interesting. Like Elkanah, I've not looked at it a lot, but Elkanah, the El is of God, right? El. Of God. And Kana, that Kana there, I believe it looks almost like God that gives or God that provides, right? God that gives or God that provides. And it's interesting that the woman whose name is Grace receives the right of the firstborn as though she would have borne the man a child, didn't bear anything. It's already given to her, and what she's asking for is a son, right? Is a son, and she's already been given the rights even before she's even birthed anything, right? Fruitfulness is not what God has waited for to give you anything, right? He gave you what he gave you so that out of what he gave you, you would bear fruit, right? He's not asking us to bear fruit to give us something, right? We will bear fruit from what he has already given, right? But what is she not seeing? She's not seeing what she already possesses, right? She's not seeing what she already possesses. And it says, in verse number 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked for, right? And it's cool because that's like the position of like the priest of like Jesus is our high priest, right? And he speaks to her, right? Nothing has changed in her condition. He just speaks a word to her, right? The priest speaks a word to her, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight, right? The interesting thing is she has already found favor with her husband. She has years old, she had already found favor. It says, so the woman went her way and she ate then, and her face was no longer sad. What did she receive? She just received a word from the priest, right? She received a word from the priest and her face was no longer sad. She rose up early in the morning and she worshipped. Listen how interesting this is. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and they returned. They came to the house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her, right? So just as she accepts the word of God, right? She looks to her husband and she becomes intimate with him, right? Not even thinking about the son anymore, right? Just her and her husband, the one that's been given to her, right? Just a relationship between the two of them, not caring about anything else in the world, right? Isn't that really what the Lord's been speaking to us, right? That it's between us and him. It's not between us and him and everybody else, right? But it's just between us and him. Why does he say if you were to love father or mother or this one or that one more than me? Because it's not about, right? I mean, I love my wife, I love my son, I love my daughter, I love my dad, I love my mom, I love my sister, I love my brother, I love my family, I love my extended family, right? I love all of you. But the thing is, what he's saying, am I not better to you than all of them? Am I not better to you than all of them? So don't you worry about loving them. You love me, right? I'm better to you. I'm greater. I'm better than all of them. And then I will love them through you, right? I will love them through you, but I will love them, not you, right? I'll do that, right? Because obviously what we need, it's interesting, right? What we need is just him.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringingintheharvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.